right. Thank you, Tata Mike, for the handover. As he said, we are now joined by Dr. Cornelia Defon, who is a doctor at the Sterling Medical Center, as well as Sister Dorothy Tiejo, who is a senior health program officer at the Commerce Health Directorate. And they are here joining us to talk about the role of the HPV vaccine in the prevention of cervical cancer. How are you guys doing this morning?
We are fine. Good morning to you. Good morning, Namibia.
Good morning to our listeners. Good morning to you. And thank you for having us here.
Thank you very much for making the time. So let's get right into it. Could you briefly explain what HPV is and how it contributes to the development of cervical cancer?
Yeah, thank you so much for that opening question. I want to say that all that we are going to say during this discussion is coming from scientific articles organized by the WHO, European guidelines, and the CDC website, Center for Disease Control, whose global headquarters is based in Atlanta in the USA. So having said that, HPV stands for human papilloma virus. It is a sexually transmitted viral infection. And the persistent, keyword persistent infection with any of 12 high-risk HPV types can cause cervical cancer. And this is the pathway to cancer development. A person is first exposed during sexual activity, and then infection takes place. In some people, probably based on a strong immunity, there is clearance of infection. But for others, about 5 to 10% of that infection persists to cause cervical cancer. And cervical cancer arises because the virus damages the cells and the nuclear components, or what we call the cellular structures. Once they are damaged, then cancer results.
Okay. So why is cervical cancer a public health concern in Namibia, and how can it be prevented?
Another great question. Cervical cancer is of a public health concern in Namibia for many reasons. Let's start with what we call incidence or prevalence and mortality. In 2022, WHO reported that 350 cases of cervical cancer were diagnosed. Out of that number, 203 died. And it is the second most common cancer amongst women in Namibia. So that is a very serious matter.
Most definitely.
It is also a disease of public health concern because it is preventable. It takes between 5 to maybe maximum 20 years for a person or a woman to develop cervical cancer. But if we screen, for example, we can pick what we call early pre-cancer phases or stages. When we pick them, they are treatable. So it's not just the cancer that's that can be treated, but pre-cancer is treatable. And when we treat it, we almost eliminate the chances of actual cancer developing. It is also prevented by way of vaccination. And the vaccines are very effective. The HPV vaccine is very effective. And in that way, we can prevent it. It is also a concern because most of the women that are affected are what we call maybe low income or poor people, and particularly in low resource setting. When you are not educated, when you don't live in the city, when you don't have a good job, the chances are that you are away from information. you are far from facilities that provide the relevant services. And because somebody cannot read, even where there is information available, just not being educated, being poor, living in a rural area or in slums puts you at risk of developing cancer because you are not accessing, say, for example, screening services. Okay?
Yes. Yes.
So all of these make cervical cancer an issue of public health concern in Namibia. And like I said, and the reason why we're here today is that it is preventable and preventable by early screening and detection, preventable by vaccination.
Yes.
Thank you.
Very important to make sure that we prevent it rather than try to treat it.
Yes.
So, sister, if you can share what type of HPV vaccine is the government planning to roll out and how does it help prevent cervical cancer, especially for younger girls now speaking.
Sorry, my voice is rough in the morning. Okay, thank you for the question. Basically, our government is planning to roll out Gardasil 4, which that is the name of the vaccine that we're going to be using, the HPV vaccine.
Okay.
So this vaccine is, when we say Gardasil 4, it means it protects against four types of HPV. Which is HPV 6 and 8, that is the most common ones that cause genital warts. So, and then we also have HPV 16 and 18, which are the common ones that cause cervical cancer. So you see, they've actually gone an extra mile to protect against those four types. HPV has got a lot of types, over 100 of different types of HPV.
100?
Yeah, over 100. So at least, I believe our government is really trying, has gone an extra mile to go that. So basically, it will be a one dose that will be given to a girl child between the age of 9 to 14 with no comorbidities or like not immunocompromised in simple terms, whereby two doses will be given to those that have a weak immune system. For example, people that are infected with HIV or diabetes or any other immune compromise, that disease that compromise their immune system, just so that the effectiveness would be more, because already their immune system is already weakened by the disease or that they already have or that they are living with.
Okay.
So the vaccination against HPV can greatly reduce the risk of developing cervical cancer and other HPV-related. So it's best administered before exposure to the HPV, which usually occurs occurs after sexual contact. So that's why we are trying to administer it to these young girls in that age group, thinking that, of course, they are not yet sexually active. Of course, we do know that there is violation that goes on, you know, like rape and stuff, but we are assuming that these girls are not sexually active, so we administer them so that they are more protected before they are actually in sexual engagements.
When it comes to HPV, if a person would test positive for HPV, does it mean if the HPV is not treated, is it essentially automatic that cervical cancer will develop, or is there a gray area, so to say? Can you get HPV without developing cervical cancer?
Yes, most definitely you can. Most of the time with this HPV in the system or the body, it clears out itself at some point.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that because most of us actually have HPV, but we're just not aware that we have it. Yeah, it can be there, but you will not know because you're not having symptoms.
Okay.
Yeah, but it can clear out on its own, but doesn't mean that because I have HPV, I can get cervical cancer, but hence we want to prevent you from developing cervical cancer, or there is a chance that you might develop cervical cancer. Doctor can also add on that one if I miss something.
Yeah, just to quickly add that, like I said in the beginning, you know, there is this a process or steps.
Yeah.
You are exposed, and she said it, people that are sexually active
might
have been exposed and then infected, but 90% will clear. And that is what is answering your question.
Okay.
The fact that there is HPV, if tested, does not automatically mean that you're going to have cancer.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So back to the vaccine. Is the vaccine effective in preventing other types of cancers or health conditions caused by HPV?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to take it?
Okay. Yeah, it's effective because some of these types of HPV, they not only cause cervical cancer. Some of them, they cause oral cancer, anal cancer, because we do know that, like we're saying, you contract it sexually. Like we do know that, I'm a nurse now, so I'm going to call it as it is. Mm-hmm. We perform oral sex, so hence we are also at risk of oral cancer. Mm-hmm. So this vaccine can prevent you from getting those type of cancer, oral and anal. Mm-hmm. Some people have anal sex. So, yeah.
Yeah. So let me come in there. So for this specific vaccine that the government is introducing to Namibia, you see, it is protecting against four types of HPV.
Yeah.
6, 11, 16, and 18.
Okay.
6 and 11 are called low risk. Okay.
Okay.
HPV types. Okay. While 16 and 18 are called high risk HPV type.
Mm-hmm.
So, sister is right about other types of cancers, oral, anal, that are caused by other types of HPV viruses.
Yes.
But this specific vaccine that is going to be given is going to protect against warts.
Okay.
What we call genital warts.
Yeah.
Okay. And cervical cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So the high risk are the 16 and 18.
Mm.
They are associated with cervical cancer,
mm-hmm.
vaginal cancer,
mm-hmm.
and vulval cancer.
Mm-hmm.
The low risk are the 6 and 11 and are associated with genital warts. And genital warts don't only happen in women. Even though the cervix, vulva, and vagina belong to the woman,
mm-hmm.
but men and women both have genital warts.
Okay.
Yes, so that is the other name of the condition that's not a cancer
mm-hmm.
that this particular Gardasil 4 that the government is introducing mm-hmm. is going to be protecting.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now, Doctor, my next question, you know, we've been having this conversation for the past week or so with mm-hmm. various officials, and we've had people call in sending us messages about how they are skeptical about the vaccine, and I'm sure you've heard this also.
Mm.
So how safe is the HPV vaccine, particularly for children between the ages of 9 and 14?
Great question. It's something we must address.
Yeah.
But I'm very pleased to say that all HPV vaccines are safe.
Mm-hmm.
All. They are safe for the children that we are giving between ages 9 and 14.
Mm-hmm.
HPV vaccines are the most tested vaccines ever licensed.
Okay.
Most tested. Vaccine safety is monitored continuously across countries.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If adverse events are reported, there is a committee that looks at the type of event, number of events,
mm-hmm.
they compare them to what has happened prior to introduction of the vaccine
mm-hmm.
and what is happening after introduction of the vaccine. This will give them a picture to say, aha, this is because of the vaccine
yeah.
or it has nothing to do with the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for the people listening, in Namibia is not the first country to introduce HPV vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I've spoken to some people, they in other countries, even the males get the vaccine as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So it's a safe thing. There's nothing to be scared of.
Mm.
Yes. So what are some of the common side effects one might experience after receiving this vaccine?
Okay. I want to say it here that any vaccine,
mm-hmm.
not just HPV, any vaccine can cause side effects, okay? And these can be what we will group into three: immediate,
mm-hmm.
short-term, and long-term.
Okay.
Immediate are things that happen within minutes.
Yeah.
So if I want to extend it, let's say up to 14 days.
Okay.
short term will be something after 14 days to a year. And long term will be 1 year to, let's say, 20, 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
The side effects associated with HPV vaccine are just what we call immediate and can happen with any vaccine.
Okay.
What do I mean? Soreness. We say, I feel sore.
Yeah.
Soreness, fever, redness, swelling at the injection site. Soreness, fever, swelling, pain at the injection site.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody that has received an injection before or a vaccine can say that these are just normal. And they are reactions to that needle to your tissue. It has nothing to do with the content, the liquid, vaccine. The vaccine, which is being injected.
Mm-hmm.
And for long term, there hasn't been anything reported, credible evidence to say that HPV vaccine caused this great side effect.
Precisely. Mm. Sister, is there anything you'd like to add on that one?
No, I think doctor has alluded it all, and she has really said it very much clearly, so I don't want to dilute what she has said.
All right. So in the rare case of an adverse event following the immunization, what should parents or caregivers do, and how do health professionals respond? Is there a system in place to monitor and manage any adverse events following the immunization related to the HPV vaccine in Namibia?
I want sister to say something about parents. Tell them what to do at home.
please, we must not touch the injection site,
mm-hmm.
because I know that in our culture, you know, we have different cultural beliefs.
Yeah.
And I've seen this when I was in practice, like at the clinic,
mm-hmm.
whereby even before you want to inject the child, the parent will want to put something there and say, no, this is how it says in our culture. We need to apply something on the injection site before the child is injected.
Mm-hmm.
But please, that shouldn't be the case. Even when they go home, they shouldn't apply anything on that area. They should just let it be. Don't massage it and all that. Just leave it. Don't apply anything traditionally. We shouldn't do that.
So the parents shouldn't turn into doctors.
Yeah, fantastic. So thank you, sister. Let me just tell the public,
mm-hmm.
what are the signs of severe allergic reaction, or what we will call adverse events after immunization. So you will have like skin rashes or hives, swelling of the face and the throat,
mm-hmm.
difficulty breathing, fast heartbeat, dizziness or weakness.
Mm-hmm.
If this happens, in addition to what sister just said, don't touch anything. Go to the nearest health facility.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to say, see whether it's severe or not severe. You may not be able to appreciate what is severe or not.
Yes.
Yeah.
So your duty is just take the person to the nearest health facility, to your doctor or any doctor.
Yes.
As regards to the health workers,
mm-hmm.
most of them know what to do with severe adverse reaction.
Okay.
And because usually when health workers are on duty, it's not just one person. It's a mixture of somebody very experienced and somebody not so experienced.
Yeah.
And they usually have a protocol.
Okay.
Thirdly, at the facility, there is a form for reporting adverse reactions,
mm-hmm.
whether it be to vaccines or whether it be to medications.
So if a person now does get the vaccine, how effective is the vaccine in protecting against the cervical cancer, and how long does this protection last?
Very good question. A review of vaccination programs in countries that adopted HPV vaccination early, those who decided to start to vaccinate early,
mm-hmm.
it shows the following outcomes. Up to 90% reduction in infections that are caused by high-risk HPV type 16 and 18.
Mm-hmm.
Another outcome is up to 88% reduction in genital warts incidence.
Okay.
And a third important outcome is up to 70% reduction in pre-cancer risk. So fewer CIN grade 2 and 3 in young women compared to the pre-vaccine era.
Okay.
If you remember when I was explaining that there are steps to the actual cancer,
yeah,
those steps, there are three of them. Mm-hmm. We call them CIN1, CIN2, and CIN3.
Mm-hmm.
And the goal of screening is to find out whether these pre-cancer stages are already happening in a sexually active woman.
Okay.
And if we see that through pap smear, through visual inspection with acetic acid,
mm-hmm,
then we intervene by treating. What do we do then? We excise or remove these abnormal changes that if we don't do anything, they will get to cancer.
Okay.
Once you remove them, then you've removed what will become cancer. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so that is it. Now for vaccine,
mm-hmm,
that protection, it could almost be lifelong.
If you get it once, it's lifelong?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Because the truth about it is that the fact that you give vaccine to a 9-year-old,
yeah,
at 20 today, they become 29, right?
Mm-hmm.
And 29-year-old women are mothers.
Yes.
How do you confirm that your vaccine has worked,
mm-hmm,
is to go and screen,
okay,
by looking at the cervix that gets the cancer.
Yeah.
When you go and look at that cervix and you don't see any pre-cancer lesion,
mm-hmm,
then you can confirm,
yeah,
that the vaccine has worked and has protected that woman,
okay,
who is now probably a mother of 1, 2, 3, or 4 children.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now, following up on that, if a person is vaccinated, like you said,
mm,
will they still need to go for cervical cancer screenings later at other stages in life?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So the vaccine, like I said, is to protect. But then how do we confirm that it has done the purpose for which it was administered?
Yeah.
And remember, we gave it pre-sexual debut.
Mm-hmm.
And then people grow up. Like she said earlier on,
mm-hmm,
it's normal. It's a human right to have sex.
Mm-hmm.
They get sex and they could have been exposed.
Mm-hmm.
The point of the vaccine is that it would have already created antibodies. So that when you are exposed, infection is not established because antibodies are there like soldiers,
yeah,
to attack that HPV that has been introduced into your body by virtue of sexual intercourse.
Okay.
But screening is still the best way to look at the cervix and to say, is there anything happening here that will make us feel that there's a cancer.
Mm-hmm.
If there is a cancer, then the vaccine has failed.
Yeah.
If there is nothing, then the vaccine has been effective.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you that it has been effective in developed countries, like I said, where they adopted and introduced the vaccine,
mm-hmm,
very early. The incidence of cervical cancer is very, very low, mm-hmm, in those countries.
Sister, is there anything you'd like to add on that one? So as I'm listening to Dr. speak, cervical cancer, like you said at the beginning, is a big issue in Namibia. Mm. Is HPV the only way a woman can get cervical cancer, or can she get cervical cancer from any other? Is there any other way a woman can get cervical cancer other than via the HPV?
I dare say that nearly 99%,
uh-huh,
of cervical cancer is due to HPV.
Okay.
There are reports that maybe one cancer is genetic.
Mm.
But I want to clarify that, for example, if somebody's mother died from cervical cancer,
mm-hmm.
and obviously we do what we call histology,
mm-hmm.
to say HPV type 16 is there.
Mm-hmm.
The daughter of that mother does not get cervical cancer because she has inherited HPV from the mother. No.
Mm.
So which means that HPV is not inherited.
Okay.
Okay. But mother, daughter, sister, all could get cervical cancer based on sexual activity,
mm-hmm.
and not genetic.
Yeah, yeah.
We must separate those two. Okay?
Makes sense.
Thank you.
Who is eligible to receive the HPV vaccine under Namibia's current vaccination program?
Before I answer the question, I actually like what you said earlier, where you said in other countries, I heard they are vaccinating boys as mm-hmm. well. So yes, yeah. It's really a good thing. It can be given to both boys and girls. Hey,
mm-hmm.
but in our country right now, according to our immunization program, we are focusing on girls aged from 9 to 14 years. Why girls? Because, most importantly, the burden disease of cervical cancer is from women because mm-hmm. we are the ones with the cervix, right?
Yeah.
So we are trying to reduce, or the government is trying, we are trying to reduce the incident rates of cervical cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But it does not mean that the boy child cannot get it. But right now, currently, we are focusing on the girl child, age mm-hmm. 9 to 14 years.
Okay.
Yes.
And when it comes to accessing the vaccine, where can it be accessed? Is it available in schools, clinics, or perhaps outreach campaigns? And when will it begin to be administered?
Okay, thank you for that. That is a very, very important question.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to put it out there that we'll have a vaccination campaign, HPV vaccination campaign, from the 4th of August to the 15th of August.
Okay.
And this campaign will happen in all the schools, ne? All the private schools, all the public schools and mm-hmm. outreach points where we are going to reach these girls under that age,
mm-hmm.
And also out of school girls. That's why we are also going out in the outreach, like even to the farms and stuff in okay. our surrounding.
Okay.
But this campaign is not only in Commerce, it's the entire nation.
Okay.
It's national. It's nationwide. Hey? Mm-hmm. So this vaccine will be available in those schools. After the campaign, it will become part of our routine immunization program at all the health facilities.
Mm.
So even during the campaign, for example, maybe the girl was absent at school due to other circumstances, maybe in the morning when the vaccine was being given, maybe she had a doctor's appointment or whatever the issue may be.
Yeah.
They can still go access the vaccine at the health facilities because most of them, they're closed at 5, others at 7, they can still be given the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And after the campaign, it's become part of our routine. And also, it's important to put it out to the public that this vaccination is not a force matter.
Mm-hmm.
We are just here to sensitize and to tell the public what they need to know
mm-hmm.
and how they should take care of their health, including the parents, especially because they are the ones that are responsible for their children.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically voluntary. It's not a force. Hence, the parents will give permission.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when we go to the schools to vaccinate, we're not just going to stand there and say, hey, come. You're coming to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
You have to get injected. Yeah, you have to protect you from HPV. No,
mm-hmm.
it's not going to be the case. We will get permission letters. The parents will sign permission letters to that allow us to vaccinate their children. If the child does not have a permission letter from the parent, we are not going to vaccinate the child without a permission letter.
Okay.
So this vaccine will be available as from the 4th of August. It will be full force.
So when you say it's going to be part of the normal vaccination cycle, is it going to be like, I remember when I was younger, when we used to get vaccinated for like polio and measles
yes.
and things like that, it was on that, we had like a card.
The card, yeah.
So is it going to be part of the things on that card?
Yeah, the good news is it has been part of that card for a long time. It's just
it's on there already?
Yeah, it's there.
Okay.
It's already appearing on the health passports of the children. It's already okay. there. So it's going to be part. You are right to say the polios, the measles. It's just going to be part of the routine immunization schedule for the country.
Okay.
Let me add quickly.
Yes.
For the private sector, of course, major private pharmacies, they do stock the vaccine.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And for private doctors with, should I say, larger clinics,
mm-hmm.
they may actually have it right in their premises.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And like she said, nothing is forced.
Mm.
Everything is information. And then if you make a request and it is there, it will be administered.
Okay.
If you make a request and it's not there, the doctor can give you a prescription. You buy the ampoule of the vaccine yourself,
mm-hmm.
and you come and it will be administered to you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, doctor.
So, what would you say? Actually, we have a caller on the line.
Mm.
Eagle FM, good morning.
Good morning, please.
Yes.
Is the doctor and the sister still there?
Yes, they are still here.
Please, let me just quickly post some QCC questions.
Okay.
Yes, we understand it's a very wonderful program.
Mm-hmm.
And we always hear the remark that, yes, even though the thing is targeting girls and women,
yeah,
men are, and boys are also not left out.
Mm-hmm.
But in many cases, we see in the programming that most of those programs are actually excluding men and boys.
Mm-hmm.
Look at gender issues. Look at the cancer, for example. Look at areas where men and boys are somehow relegated to the ground. There are so many. Why can't they just start the program from onset that that is inclusive?
Mm-hmm.
I understand boys are also looking considered, but many a times men and boys are left out. Look at suicide, for example. Look at many social programs that are going on there. Services.
Mm-hmm.
Men and boys are left out from the beginning. What is prevents them to just start at the same pace?
Okay.
What the issue? Gender-based violence, men are the ones who are on the receiving end, and they are the ones who are also suffering psychologically, economically, in many, many areas. Why can't they just start from the just equal,
yeah,
and we have this equitable distribution of services and programs at the same time? Why should we be left out all the time?
Thank you for the question.
You can't put them behind in their benefit as beneficial.
Yes, doctor, we'll address this question shortly.
Please, let them attend to us, and we are really getting fed up because men are killing themselves, they are killing their partners. Why? Go to the Namibia Collection of Services and do survey, and you see the pressure that are coming from the women and girls.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not girls. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yes, doctor. Yeah, if you're able to address that, a valid question.
Yes. I want to say thank you to the person that just posed the question and comments.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe most Namibians are listening, including even government officials, including, traditional leaders,
yeah,
including leaders in the churches. So, boy child is true to some extent has been left alone.
Mm-hmm.
And in some programs, a vaccination in general,
mm-hmm,
has covered children irrespective of the sex and gender.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when it comes to HPV, because it is very, to some extent or most extent, gender specific in the sense that cervical cancer affects the girl child.
Yeah.
We are not saying the male is not involved. Like in some of our questions that we addressed already,
yeah,
genital warts, they happen in both sexes.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a plan going forward in the future,
mm-hmm,
to include vaccination of the male child.
Yeah.
But as he digressed to other things like gender-based violence mm-hmm. and suicide. It is true that we just, it's like crying medicine after death, crying over spilled milk.
Mm-hmm.
We need to bring in men, and even a man like this,
yeah.
he can start something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, non-profit organizations, they don't need to start big. Everything starts small.
Yeah.
Even a story building starts with one block.
Yeah.
Men that are concerned and interested, they can begin to organize young men in their neighborhood
mm-hmm.
and just talk to them. They say prevention is better than cure.
Yeah.
That does not apply to disease per se alone. Prevention of suicide is better than cure, because you cannot cure a suicide that has taken place.
Yeah.
You can't bring back the person to life.
Mm-hmm.
So we can then look into the root causes of gender-based violence,
yes.
pari passu suicide.
Yeah.
What is it? What is that thing that is so painful that somebody cannot forgive and forget?
Mm-hmm.
That somebody cannot say sorry, or I am sorry, we accept those sorries and move on. So yes, we do agree with you on this program that we need to begin to put structures together,
yeah.
programs, work with government to deliver, you know, impactful services to our communities
mm-hmm.
so that we can reduce gender-based violence and reduce suicide. Thank you to the listeners. Thank you, sir, for the question.
Mm-hmm.
Just to add on to what doctor has said, thank you, sir, for that question to our listener that he asked, and it's a really valid question, and I understand where he's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
But with this, like I've said before, in one of the previous questions that I addressed,
yeah.
Right now, the government is prioritizing the girl child because of the incident rates of cervical cancer.
Yeah.
It's bad. So many women are dying
yeah.
because of cervical cancer, something that we could have prevented.
Mm-hmm.
And men don't have a cervix, so they don't get cervical cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, we are not really sidelining the boy child, as in we are sidelining the boy child, but it's just a prioritization.
Just addressing the issue, to first tackle mm-hmm.
the issue, and then we can bring in the boy child also when in years to come or so. So for now, and I would like to add that, hey, that vaccine is also quite very expensive. Imagine it's protecting against four types. So you can just imagine. So
yeah.
at least we are trying to tackle the issue at hand.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
How can our communities and health professionals work together to improve awareness and acceptance of the HPV vaccine? That's all. Either doctor or sister, whoever would like to take that.
I can start, and if there's something sister wants to add.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to say that all hands need to be on deck. The Ministry of Health, other health institutions,
mm-hmm.
non-governmental organizations, schools, and churches, they need to work with health professionals to carry the message
yeah.
of cervical cancer prevention to community members.
Mm-hmm.
And this can be done through trainings, awareness campaigns, screening campaigns, and talk shows like we are doing now. Health professionals can have a one-on-one discussion
mm-hmm.
because each time a person goes to a doctor, whether it's private or public sector, a doctor doesn't see two patients at the same minute.
Yeah.
It's only always yeah. one patient at a time.
Yeah.
If it is a woman, I think it's just appropriate that a healthcare professional mention something about cervical cancer.
Yeah.
Like we said, pre-cancer stages are mostly asymptomatic.
Mm-hmm.
just having infection is asymptomatic. You don't know exactly whether you have it.
Yeah.
But you have a sexually active woman in front of you, even though they have come with leg pain, it would be nice to just say, have you heard about pap smear?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And we should communicate in the language that the patient understands.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you were a professor of medicine,
yeah,
let's say that the patient in front of you speaks your mother tongue. You can ask that question in your mother tongue. That's not the time to show your scientific prowess,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
And just imagine that every doctor, every nurse, every physiotherapist, because we said health professionals,
mm-hmm,
you have a woman that looks to you like a sexually, active woman.
Mm-hmm.
Ask them if they know about pap smear. And if you are skilled in doing pap smear, please offer.
Yeah.
On the other hand, we're talking about vaccinating the young girl. When you also have a woman or a parent coming with a young child within this age bracket of 9 to 14
mm-hmm
that the government is vaccinating,
mm-hmm,
also ask them, have they heard about HPV vaccine? And it gives you an opportunity to counsel, educate, and if possible, offer if it is there.
Sister, is there anything you'd like to add on that one?
Thank you, doctor, for that. Just to add on, for anything to work, you cannot do it in solace alone.
Yeah.
You need a collaboration of many other. Mm-hmm. Hence, the Ministry of Health has been engaging its stakeholders, like especially Ministry of Education. I mean, these learners that we are targeting are from education.
Yeah.
And we need their support. We need them to be on board for us to do anything. The parents, most more important, because it's them that are giving permission. So let us all just work together. When community members, community health workers, they are busy in the communities right now,
mm-hmm,
doing awareness and knocking on doors and coming to give information. Let's embrace them. Let's open our doors for them. Let's hear what they want to say, that what they are saying to us. Let's open our mind.
Mm-hmm.
Let's open our mind to whatever information that we get and act on it. I'm sure all of us in our families, be it our family, our friends, we know somebody that have maybe was diagnosed with cancer, or have seen somebody was diagnosed with cancer, be it a sister, a grandmother, or whoever. So we know how deadly this disease can be. So why not take the initiative? Let's protect. Let's talk about it in our family meetings,
mm-hmm,
at home. Like doctor was saying, a 2 minutes conversation. Oh, have you heard about HPV screening? Did you take your child I took my child for HPV vaccination.
Yeah.
Because like you said earlier, we've been getting vaccination from from all the other diseases, all the other illnesses,
mm-hmm,
that like measles, polio and stuff. But most of us have never seen maybe somebody with polio, like who has been infected with polio, hey?
Yeah.
Why? Because we have taken the vaccine. We have been protected. So why not? Why can't we do the same with HPV?
Exactly.
So let us hold hands and work together so that we effectively try to eliminate this silent killer in our country.
Most definitely. Doctor, sister, thank you very much for your time this morning. It was very informative, and hopefully the listeners got the message about HPV and its relationship with cervical cancer. Any last message before I let you guys go this morning?
Yeah, thank you so much. I just want to quickly say that we hope that we have allayed the fears of hesitant mothers.
Mm.
Yeah, those people that are trying to understand everything before they go for vaccination. So I'm hoping that our explanations have enlightened you. And finally, I just want to reemphasize that HPV vaccines are safe and effective. Children grow very fast, and in no time, they are sexually active. You don't want them initiating sexual activity, risking infection and dying.
There's a
caller. Oh, okay.
Oh, they left us.
Okay.
Okay, sorry, doctor, you may continue.
Okay. So what I'm saying is that before you know it, our children are going to be sexually active. You don't want them initiating sexual activity, risking HPV infection and dying from cervical cancer when they could have been saved all that pain.
All right.
Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, Doctor. Eagle FM, hello?
Just something very little, briefly. Thank you very much for the answer that you provided by the doctor and the sister there.
Okay.
The other thing, maybe it's a misconception, like the sister was explaining, that many a times when you hear a person has died with cancer, then they talk about genitally, I mean, what is it? Not genetic. Yeah, not genital, sorry. Genetic. No, it's because of genetic, their mothers and their parents and all those old people die from this one. And therefore, it is taken as a, you know, as a normal thing that, yes, they all have to die through that. So, and the education on that area perhaps need to be strengthened so that people don't just, because maybe just because of our lifestyle and our social lifestyle and things like that, that's why the cause of some of these things. But the issue of genetic, it's good that the doctor has mentioned, or is it the sister? Maybe the education and awareness need to be also centered on that area because it creates some kind of commotion.
All right. Thank you very
among
much.
Among the family members. So thank you very much. Thank you very much for the talk show.
Thank you for calling.
Good.
All right. There we have it. Once again, doctor and sister, thank you very much for your time this morning. And we hope the listeners got the important message this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's protect our girls so mm-hmm. that we protect our future.
Mm.
100%.
Thank you.
Helmut will be back right after this.